where it was like, am I going to redefine myself or am I going to stick to what has always worked? And it was sort of like taking these types of courses. I did prioritize the letter grade that came up on the screen, you know? I was like, that's important. And I put value to that. What I didn't assign value to was the free time that I would allocate to improve those grades. Game, like, that, I wasn't even like a wee back then, but that, like, that was it. All right.
You were always a weeb.
No, I was. Okay. That's debatable. That's debatable.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club, and today we are going to have a returning guest, your guys' absolute favorite, Clyde Jackson, known for his hot takes and even hotter bars. He's going to be coming back on. So Clyde, why don't you unmute your mic so we can hear your lovely voice once again.
Hotter bars, bro? When was I speaking bars?
Dude, every single word you say is a bar, my good man.
All right, man. whatever you say.
Okay.
Carter, whatever you say.
So, interesting thing. Last episode, so many people related to it. So many people loved it. That's the pilot episode for those who are wondering. I still get people talking to me in the hallway of Camden. They're like, Clyde gets me. Like, I don't think I've ever found another person who articulated that. And it's weird because you get these people who are total athletes, total people who are football, super into football, and they're just like, Clyde just like bore my soul. Like, he just exposed my entire soul. Like, I don't know how he does that. And the one criticism I heard, because there was, with when anything gets this popular, there's some criticism, some which I agree with, some which I disagree with. The main one was like, you obviously don't go to a football game to watch the football. And what would you say to that?
Well, one, it's like, when it comes to like defending my take, one, I already established that was my opinion. So you're allowed to have your opinions. I'm not saying that what mine is absolute. I just want to get that clarified.
Yeah.
Two, going back to your point, hypothetically speaking, if I were to defend my point, it's just like, why go to a football game then? You know, it's like, after the football game, one of the football games that I attended for Camden, me and like 20 other people just went to a Wawa. Like, we spent 15 or 20 minutes at a Wawa getting dinner and tasty cakes, vanilla soda, 20 other people in your group. Like, that's all you need. Why go to the football game if you're like, well, obviously I'm going to go to the football game to talk to people. Where else would I do it? There's more than enough avenues that you can do, especially in like the area around Camden. So
what are some avenues that you think are important to you?
Well, there isn't like a designated avenue that I have. It's like, you know, going out to lunch, dinner, maybe just walking with friends somewhere, going to friends somewhere, seeing a movie, going to like a carnival fair or something, going to like a mall or something. Like, it doesn't have to be at a football game. You're still getting the same experience. Like, if you're going to a football game for like the hype and for like having all those that many people there, then I guess I concede in a sense that like that's what you're going for. But the main focus of my podcast was for the people who are not going for the hype and the hundreds of people in the stands and the people who just wanted to go because people were telling them to go. So if you enjoy the madness of it all, then yeah, I guess you're right. Like, why wouldn't you go to the football game? But what I was saying was mostly directed at people who were going to the football games, not because they enjoyed that. They were just going to the football games because all of their friends were going and they didn't have any other avenues, or they think that they didn't have any other avenues to, you know, interact.
Yeah. And we don't want to beat this to death, but I feel like that would answer a lot of the criticism that people had. But there's so much more that we want to talk about this episode.
This is a new episode, man.
Yeah.
Clean slate.
It's new, especially now that the school year is really back into the swing of things. So my question is, you know, how is that? Like, back in the thick of the school year, like, what is that for you, the change from summer?
So one thing I would disagree with you, Clyde, is that I'm not in the thick of the school year. I mean, obviously it's been a couple of weeks, but it's, like, we've only really had one real test in all of our classes so far, at least for me. So I think we're still in a somewhat of a transition period, but right now, I would say that I don't even know. I'm just sort of treating it as it comes and goes, you know? Like I told you, right? It's cyclical.
Yeah.
I'm just coming, doing my homework, studying what I need to study, doing whatever college apps and crap that I need to do, and it's not really bearing down on me. It used to bear down on me, which I think we're probably going to touch on the other later episodes, but now I'm just sort of taking it as a checklist almost, and once I check it, it's done. And when I check it, I'm thorough. I'm not just, you know, doing it for the sake of doing it, but nothing, it's not really bearing down on me right now.
So, back when it was bearing down on you, when high school was at its most stressful moments, maybe December of junior year, what was that?
Okay, yeah, that was the... Okay, that was bad. Okay.
Yeah, what was that stress like?
So, what you gotta realize, right, was when you're stressing out during school, now this might sound really, very, like, conceited almost, but once again, I'm giving you a very personal take here. In my opinion, even when you're taking, like, the four AP classes and stuff, the workload that school gives you, it is a lot compared to, like, a lot of other classes, and I do admit that it's very difficult, but it's definitely manageable. Yeah. The stress comes in when you are doing something like a part-time job or other, like, sports and stuff, and I admit that's when you have a tight schedule. And I cannot speak for that because I started my job in the senior year of summer, so... But for me, the main stress in December, it was more the psychological environment of school rather than the work itself.
I feel like it's so interesting that you say that because I completely agree. I remember being in the midst of my completely loaded, insane, masochistic schedule and thinking, I can still kind of handle this every day if I was completely sane here. But what would end up happening is that I would just waste time. I would spend time, you know, more time, you know, talking with my friends about how bad this schedule is. And I would end up blowing out my schedule out of proportion into something unreasonable.
So, I know you took a pretty hard schedule, and I'd like to think I took a pretty tough schedule last year as well. But what you gotta realize is, the way how Camden works, right, is it's a sudden transition. You get the choice of getting one or two APs in your sophomore year, and most people do none or one. Very few people do two, and the people who do two are, I don't know, they're hats off to you guys. But then it's almost like you get pressured to up your game, and then that's when you start to see people taking three, four, or five. Now, I think you took five last year, right? Or was it four?
I did take five.
I took four last year. And I only took it because I was like, in the mindset I was coming off, I was like hot off of sophomore year. And sophomore year was probably like best high school year so far. And senior year hasn't finished, so I don't know what will that be. But,
well, I hated my sophomore year. yeah, keep going.
I don't know what to say. But... don't worry, man. Senior year is going to be much better, I hope. Yeah. But I was like, you know, it's just the next course. It's just the next course that's available, right? It's the next level. Why not do it, you know? And I had a lot of luck. So I don't know what the courses I took last year. I took two courses that people say are really hard. And I had, like, a lot of people tell me, like, you're screwed. Don't do that. Do not do that. You're going to hate it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's me. I'll be fine. I was playing it down because I didn't want to come off bad, but everyone knew that I was very self-confident. Because I was like, I already took an AP class, and that one wasn't that bad, so how bad can the rest be? And then you walk into junior year, right? And the thing about me is I'm someone who, one, overestimates my abilities, or at least used to, and two, I was someone who didn't really prioritize academics. Now, I feel like this goes for a lot of people who are, like, taking these types of courses. I did prioritize the letter grade that came up on the screen, you know? I was like, that's important, and I put value to that. What I didn't assign value to was the free time that I would allocate to improve those grades. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, that's like the beginning, that's like step one of when you're going to start to feel stress, right? So, I'm going to just recount my junior year as an example of what high school stress might be like. And it might be a bit of a rant, but if that's okay, we can
continue. Go wild. We love to hear you, Clyde.
So, junior year starts, right? And I have 3 APs at once, and I have a random class. I think it was, I don't even remember what it was. It was like, oh, yeah, it was academic French. I wanted to go into honors French, but because of my schedule, they put me in academic French. Just because they couldn't work around the core classes that I'd taken. But, which is another interesting point. But anyways, I go in here, right? And so the summer before, as I said, you know, I was high off sophomore year. I wasn't giving a damn about anything. I was like, you know, first year of high school, I crushed it. Like, I don't even need to do anything, or this stuff is too easy. And coming into it, right, coming into high school, I won't say I prepared a lot, but I at least prepared for, like, the math course, and I at least prepared a little bit for, like, the science courses and stuff. And I'd look back at my notes from the years before. So I went in feeling confident, but when I walked into junior year, I had no clue. Like, I hadn't done any practice. It was just, I did a little bit of stuff for the SAT, which I did okay on, and I did, like, video games all day. I would play League of Legends, Minecraft, L-Sword, that's like a weeb game. Like, that, I wasn't even, like, a weeb back then, but that, like, that was it. Alright.
You were always a weeb.
No, I was, okay. That's debatable. Okay, well, let me talk. You didn't even put me on the anime podcast, man.
Ooh.
Like, why?
Yeah, just to clarify for those listening, a weeb, we're talking about a weeaboo. It's just a person who likes anime. Okay, you know, a bunch of people listening here aren't going to understand what we're going to talk about. So that's true. We got to clarify. But yeah, keep going.
But, okay, so then we had a summer assignment for chemistry. And I did that.
I heard about
the day
that.
Before. I did that the day before.
Ooh.
That's bad. And she extended it a day, so I thought, I was like, oh, I'm safe. And I got it back the next day. And I got, like, a 65.
Holy crap.
And I was like, I found it more comical than anything. Cause I was like, you know, it'll be funny looking back in the grade book once I do really well in this class. that was the thing, right? And then what would happen was, in sophomore year, I wasn't antisocial, but I had a very exclusive friend group.
Yeah.
And I would only speak to certain people in class and outside of school. But then when I took my first college, like, AP class, I met people from, like, other grades, right? And I was the only person from my grade in that class. So I was somewhat forced to, like, make new connections. And when I was making those new connections, I, like, made a couple of – I wouldn't even say, like, good friends, but I just made a couple of people I would talk to in class, and it would be, like, really nice, right?
Yeah, service so, level.
Mm-hmm. I was, like – I was enjoying that social connection. So as junior year's progressing, I'm, like – trying to open myself up more and, like, talk to new people. And I made friends with another group of people, and I made friends with a lot of other people, and it was really nice. That was a really nice thing. And then that's when the dip sort of starts to come, right? So in chemistry, at least, I went back to the second unit, and I did really well in the second test, and I was like, see, yeah, I got everything under control. And I was doing pretty well for the first maybe, like, 3 weeks or so. And that's when I got, like, overconfident. That's when I would start allocating less time towards my academics. And I would spend more time, like, talking to friends and, like, hanging out and, like, playing games and just, like, I guess living it up, or like living up my high school life. That's what I would be doing. And then one fateful day, they announced a dance, right?
Right.
And a lot of my friends who went to the dance last year weren't going to homecoming this year. And you went, I know, but like,
no, other people. I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go. You went, I don't remember. But most of them were not going. So I would step out. But I had a lot of other friends, a lot of other close friends who were going. And it came down to a point where it was like, am I going to redefine myself, or am I going to stick to what has always worked? And it's sort of like at that point I was like seeing in a blur, right? At that point it was like everything was going well. Like it was almost like a repetition of sophomore year. So I decided that I would not only go to the dance, but I would ask someone to go with me. Because I never had that experience before, so I thought I'd ask someone to go with me. And I asked them, and originally they said yes, but I think that it was almost like I kind of pressured them into it. And then they came back to me later, and they said that they weren't interested. And yeah. That sucks. That would be like the inciting incident of like a tragedy plot for the rest of... for the rest of the year. I won't even try and like comp it up and say that I did better for the, I don't even know what that word I just tried to say. I won't even try and excuse it and say that I did better towards the end, because I really didn't. So that was maybe October, right? And for a week, span of weeks like before that, I wasn't like even checking my grades. I was just sort of going and going to class. So then what I would do was I would, After I still went to the dance, obviously, because I bought tickets. But that was, for me, that was a really hurtful experience, because I saw the person that I wanted to go with, and that was just not fun. So I come back, and like a couple days later, I check how I was doing, and I was not doing well. Like, I was tanking. And I tried to like fix everything, and for the first marking period, it didn't work out. Now, a couple key points that I want to point out here is that I didn't care until, like, I didn't care about what was going on with my academics until I saw the letter grade. Like, beforehand, it was like, I thought I was doing well, and I was paying less attention in class and stuff, but I thought that everything was fine. I sort of painted this rosy picture of what was going on, but then once I got that reality check from that dance, like, it sort of grounded me into like where I was going. So the first working period was probably my worst working period of the entire year. And then what happened in the second marking period was I was like, okay, I need to like get my crap together. Like, I need to, this is definitely doable. And it's definitely like I can fix what I did. And I went really hard in the second marking period. And so for the first half, it was more like, I did the same thing I did in the first marking period, where I just sort of like neglected what was going on. But in the second half, as things were coming closer and closer to the end, that's when I started pushing. And we had a physics test, like one of the hardest in the unit, and I did really well on that. I was spending maybe like, if the school day was like 8 hours or like 7 hours or how many other hours it is, and then I have like 7 hours free time before I go to bed, or 8 hours free time, I would spend maybe seven of those just studying. Studying. But that's the thing, right? It came back, finals came around, and everything I did didn't pay off. It's not like I did bad, because I did really well that marking period, but it just didn't come out for the final grades. So that's when I started like sort of resenting the whole system. You know, it's like, to me, in my mind, it was like I had a couple of bad weeks, and that's what ruined my classes. And I was like, but I worked so hard for, in reality, what might have been like 2 or 3 weeks, but it seemed like 9 weeks to me. And I was like, why didn't this pay off? Like, I definitely put in more effort than I usually do, and that should obviously translate into a grade. but it didn't translate into a grade. And for the third marking period, I just sort of dropped everything, and I said, there's no point. And everything started tanking again. And then fourth marking period, a couple of my friends noticed what was going on, and they tried to, like, help me through it, and I got some help from, like, my parents and, like, all the people in the Camden community, and I was able to, like, somewhat get back on my feet. But in reality, that's just, once again, like, a rosy picture. Nothing really changed. So that was the story, right? Now I'm going to sort of break down how this relates to, like, academic stress.
Yeah.
Never once in that whole thing did I talk about content getting harder, except for, like, the test I did really well in physics. That's what I want to point out to people.
Oh, my God. I didn't even...
Like, it is not the content at all. And, no, once again, you know, I might be being conceited, and I personally... Okay, my belief is that no one is smarter than any other person. I think that everyone, if they want to, and if they really want to, they have the ability to succeed. And even if they personally cannot, or if they feel like they have inhibitions, which I think they don't, there are so many people in the Camden community that you can reach out to. I think that we are, like, blessed to go to a school like Camden. Because there's friends, you have teachers that stay after hours, you have, like, tutoring services with the National Honor Society. There's a lot that goes on that you can, if you feel like you were not up to par or not up to your standard, you can fix. But people should never blame the content of a course for stress. And when people say that to you, it's most of the time, it's not really the course, but it's what they are doing outside. And I don't mean this in, like, an accusatory way, because this is a personal experience. So I've been there and I've done that. That's one of the things, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the material. And another thing is that it's you really need to, like, get a reality check on what matters, right? Like, people tell you, like, that high school is, like you should enjoy it, right? And I agree. You should definitely enjoy your high school years. And you should like, somewhat be carefree. But I think that there should be a certain boundary beyond getting too involved into something and not being involved at all. You know, as they say, too much of anything is good for nothing. And I feel like what happens to a lot of people in high school is they do too much of anything. They sort of get lost in the idea of friends and school and dances and games and all these other activities, you know, and they sort of lose sight of things that they find important. And it's one thing if you are someone who is very set and very confident in their abilities and they're fine where they're at, but if there are people who are expecting to go into, like, college level classes and come out with flying colors, but they also want to be the hottest kid on the block, they want to be, like, you know, everyone's friend, they want to be going out, partying, doing this, doing that. Like, that's, it's somewhat delusional. What do you say, Carter?
That, you're absolutely right. Especially that last point about trying to be everybody's friend. I completely relate with that, because it just overextends you. And I think it's really important to be a nice person. It's very important to be a welcoming person. But at the same time, I don't feel like anybody should ever have to bend over backward or lose a piece of themselves to become the PG version, the G-rated version of them that everybody will love. I think everybody should be the unadulterated themselves.
Now, I want to say another thing, right? I'm, like, trying to, like, reflect back on what I've said, because I'm sort of just, it's almost like stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
But it's like, I am not saying that grades aren't, like, the end all be all. Like, that's not my point here. My point here is that school is not something that should be stressing you. If school is stressing you, there is something that you are doing which is wrong. It's not school. It's most likely you. And if now, this is my opinion, but if you are using school to blame stress from other things that you are doing, then you need to like think about what's going on, and you need to think about where the root problem is. And for the people who it is school, like, you need to have a talk with like counselors or like an adult, like your family, and like think about what's going on. Because school, if you are getting stressed out by school, that is not healthy at all. That's a really bad indicator, especially if you try to go on, if you're planning to go on to college and stuff.
You hit the nail on the head, Clyde. People are using school as like this boogeyman for stress, while really they're ignoring the real problems of what's going on in their lives, I think. I think that so many times people, they say they're stressed out, and it's like, oh, it's this test. It's what's getting to me. It's like the preparing for the test was always an option for you. You always had the time to study.
Exactly. No, it's like, it's not preparing for the stress that preparing for the test that like stresses people out. It's the idea of having an assessment, right? And the idea that they have waited until this point because they have felt confident in their abilities, and they realize after like looking back that they are not prepared for this, and they just blame it on the fact that there's a test that day instead of what they've done. Now, the thing about this type of thing is it's a very thorny issue in the sense that everyone's circumstances are different, you know?
Yeah.
In my opinion, my circumstances were something that I brought upon myself and something that I could have fixed. And I will concede that there are circumstances where it is hard, and there's maybe family situations or other things where it's hard to find a balance. But for most of the cases, really, it's something that you're doing with your scheduling, with your organization, with your free time that is the problem. And for people, so once again, like I don't know everything, but for the people who are going through like things where school is getting stressful, it's important to, I don't know, it's important to find like a balance, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you are focusing on other problems while ignoring like your school, like your grades or like anything school related, then already there's a problem because you're going too hard on one thing. If you try and find a balance, not only will you find that you feel better about what you're doing, but you also realize that you're getting yourself some time away from other problems that you're dealing with, and you're getting yourself more time to better yourself and to really just come closer to like self-actualization and knowing who you are and being happy with yourself.
Sometimes I feel tempted to just say, well, just like, you know, throw balance to the side. Why don't I just focus completely on academics, right? Make academics the center of my life.
Which is also, here's the thing. It all depends on like your goal, right? If you are trying to go for like the top, the cream of the crop, if you do that to yourself, that's fine. As long as you know you're able to handle the consequences, that's another important thing. If you go like what I did junior year, I completely overestimated my capabilities and what I self-control and other things. But if you can handle yourself, go ahead. But if you can't, don't do it. Don't get like attracted by the allure that of like possibilities of like things that you could succeed, because in reality, if you do poorly, and if there's a good chance of you doing poorly, it's actually going to reflect, even though you took like harder things, it's actually going to reflect worse on you as like a college applicant than rather than better. So it's all about knowing your limits.
Yeah. I feel like what I've learned like so far is like, it's not really like getting high grades. It's not even really about your intelligence. It's how well you can manage your emotions and manage your emotional state that you keep pushing out this stuff at a regular basis is what I'm
saying. If I dare say, like, everything, it really is, like, right in front of you when you think about it. They give you the textbooks and they tell you where the thing is. And even if there's something that you don't understand, you can go talk to them or you can look online. So there's definitely other, like, methods of preparation that I feel like people just sort of rule out because that's too time-consuming. But it's not like you don't have the tools to succeed, in my opinion.
Have you ever gone on, like, Khan Academy and, like, seen a math course that's supposed to take an entire year, and you just look at this, and it's just like, I could probably learn this in a month.
Yes. But that's because Khan Academy realizes that people looking at an hour commitment when you're going to school scares people. Because it's that's a lot. That's a chunk that's eating out of their designated time, time that they have for themselves. So if they market it in a sense where it's like, because like think about it, like there's apps like Duolingo that are like saying, if you do, I'll give you practice for 5 minutes a day, and you tell yourself, oh, 5 minutes, that's not bad, and you're like doing this on for like years and years and years to get to the same level of proficiency that if you did 10 minutes, you're cutting it in half.
Yeah.
And it's really all about priorities. In like what do you prioritize? And if you're prioritizing it, you know the payoffs and you know the consequences, and you're not going to complain about them later.
Yeah, and one thing that you sort of hinted towards earlier, when you were talking about your junior year, was like this whole idea of like a community of people like pressuring you to take the hardest classes, yes, to do the hardest. What do you think about this community, and can you speak on that? Like, you know, this community of high achievers.
One of the things is that when you get into it really starts in like middle school, when you get like your first letter grade and it's in like a portal where you can see them, right?
Yeah.
That's when a comparison begins, and that's when the like high achievers, people who do really well, tend to like separate themselves from the pack, and it's almost like a sect, you know? And this might be a somewhat aggressive depiction, but it's almost like a pack of hounds almost. Like everyone is waiting to see who's going to fall down.
They're hounding each other. They're hounding
each other. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, school is supposed to be a community where other people come together to help help their peers better their shortcomings. So everyone comes out greater. That's what the experience of high school is. Or at least that's what it should be in the books. But in reality, what it tends to be is that now there isn't any, unless like extreme cases, which I don't think have happened at Camden, there isn't any like you actively trying to mess someone up. It's more like you're staying like a vulture and you're like waiting for someone to fall.
Like, huh, what'd you get on this test? What'd you get on
exactly? Yeah, exactly. It's like standardized test scores, normal tests, AP tests, GPAs, which colleges are you applying to? How much have you got? It's all to like build a sense of ranking, and I'm in this tier of people, you are in this tier of people, that inherently makes you lower than me. And I even find myself doing stuff like this all the because it's like when I think of people who take like academic classes, to me, I'm so used to like honors and AP that it's almost like academic classes. Oh, I could probably do that. And I tend to judge, or at least it tends to be like an instinct to say like, oh, you are this level of intelligence. When in reality, that's really wrong, because I know so many people who are probably smarter than I am who just take academic classes because they're not in it for like the rat race of top. They are content with doing what they want. And I'm almost envious because they have an idea of what they want to do, whereas me, I'm just sort of like struggling to say.
Yeah, and when these people go out into the real world, you see them like they pop off.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas when you're too, that's another thing that adds to stress, right? It's like you feel like you want to, if you are at the top, you want to maintain that position. You want to be like, I need to make sure that I don't fall down in front of my peers. Because like when you think about it, you're seeing these people every day, or at least 5 days a week. And maybe more if you're doing like events and like volunteering and stuff, right? And the idea of interacting with someone who is that you know is academically better than you, and they know is academically better than you, can be like humiliating. So you're like pressuring yourself to like keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And then on the flip side, for people who are striving for the top, striving for that like position, it's almost like it's like humiliating in a sense, and it's almost like defeat. It's like a sense of like defeat, you know. It's like, but in reality, compared to like the rest of the nation, they could be doing really well. In that like microcosm of a high school, they feel like they are inferior.
Yeah.
And there's either leads to, depending on like willpower, psychological strength, and other things, either leads to them pushing themselves really hard, foregoing like social relationships and foregoing other aspects of healthy living, like sleep and stuff, to get to that position, or just foregoing academics in general and saying that I'm just not cut out for this if I can't be in the position that I want to be. And that's the key thing. Can't be in the position that I want to be. Like, when you look at it objectively, you could be doing really well. But it's just you place a higher bar for yourself than it's almost like sometimes almost feasible for you. And you just get depressed by the prospect that you'll seem like you're never going to reach it.
Yeah, and one argument that I would make, just playing devil's advocate, is like, don't you think that's a part of American culture, the idea of rising above the rest, proving yourself through hard work? Like, shouldn't that be
the dream? I'm all for a meritocracy, but when it comes to the point where it's affecting your psychological health, your physical health, your mental health, is it really worth it?
Right.
It's like, if you were hurting yourself in the long run for something short term, then what's the point? And another thing, right? If you were doing it solely for a short term goal and like in the moment, I will tell you 95% you will not make it in the long run, because that is like impulsive. You were just doing it for like that one test, for that one standardized test, for that one like course grade. You haven't set yourself for like a future. You're just in the moment. But whereas when you look at people who tend to achieve constantly, they have higher goals, you know? They want to do big things for the world. They want to do big things to make a name for themselves. So it's not about the specific course grade. You have to think like macro. It's a tip, one of the tips I have to, I guess, doing better.
I agree with that. And like, I sort of feel like at some point, it sort of becomes this sort of, I don't know if this is the right word, a sort of death cult, because you got these people running around, encouraging people to get the higher and higher workload, to do more and more and more. And it's like, at the end of the day, what do you gain from this?
Not just at Camden, right? Because when you look at it overall, the resume that you need to submit to like schools is getting like higher and higher, and the expectation they have on a student is getting higher and higher. And that's a good thing. Right, when you look at it like objectively, like the nation students are becoming smarter, because it's not just at Camden, this is like a national problem. But if you look at the flip side, it's almost like for people who are like new to this and people who are just coming into the quote-unquote race, it's a higher expectation and it's even more cutthroat than it was ever before.
Yeah, and like it's interesting because I remember in middle school it used to be so cutthroat, so bad. You know, people always trying to find out.
What I your think grade it's was. Funny, you know.
Yeah, it is funny, and it's like, because at the end of the day, you get into high school, and suddenly these people are like, "Where I have no friends. Where are all the people I could have made connections with?" And now they're trying to be like, you know, partying people. They're trying to be more social. But they've missed out on 3 years of potential development because they've been in this rat race. Right,
going back to my earlier point, that doesn't mean that you forego your academics. It's all about like that one point where I have a little bit of this, I have a little bit of that. When you think about it, like, you know, AP macro, bringing in those big brain words, it's like cost-benefit analysis. If I do this, what am I losing? And if I do that, what am I losing? And you really just need to find which balance works for you. And that'll be hard at first, you know, because you might be used to one lifestyle, you might be used to the other. But if you can upkeep a certain level where you're, because you have to compromise, that doesn't mean that you should go from like A to A minus. But if you're one of those kids that's like getting really good grades, but you're also like losing out on sleep and you're like having a rough time with friends and stuff, you need to like cut back a little.
Right. And so my question is, if you could take one big message to take away from all of this, from all your experience as in your junior year, from your experience with this community of like insular achievers, from your experience with stress and what really causes it, condense that all into one takeaway or a multiple takeaways, what would you say at the end of this episode? It's never an easy question.
Because it's really like there's so many different individualized takes that people have on this. You know, I cannot, it's not possible for me to something say like things that apply to everyone without it being the same thing that everyone's already heard. But one thing I've been stressing, like balance, right? It's like, know your limits. Don't overextend yourself, because if you overextend yourself, you're going to fall harder than you were if you just did what was within your limits. And it's one thing to be like, I want to push myself, and I want to see how far I can go, and I want to like do better. It's another thing to do it because you want to look good for a resume, and you want to look good for something else, to the point where you're just piling on these classes and these clubs and these leadership positions, and suddenly realize that you are working from 3 to like 12 every day. That's right. Like one, like find a balance. And two, don't be scared because a class has AP in front of it. Because at the end of the day, you still got a textbook, still definitions, it's still concepts. Give yourself excuses because it's a quote unquote AP level class. Two, don't like be scared. You're obviously going to have to put in a little bit more work, but it's not as bad as you think it's going to be.
Yeah. And thank you so much for that, Clyde. And thank you for coming on again for this episode. I swear every single episode I hear, like, I just have to like completely alter my perspective. And hopefully in the coming episodes, we'll actually be co-hosting an episode together. I think that'll be really interesting.
I'm excited, man.
Yeah. And again, I want to thank you guys all so much for listening to the Camden podcast. Make sure to tell your friends, and thanks for listening to season 2. Just a reminder that everything said on this podcast may or may not even be true. It could all be fake. It could all be satire. But what's important is that everything on here is more real than anything you'll see on TV or Netflix. I want to thank you guys so much for listening once again, and be sure to submit your own stories anonymously to CamdenPodcastingClub@gmail.com, where I will read them in bonus episodes. In addition, if you know anyone who would love to be on the podcast who has their own high school stories, again, email at the Camden Podcasting Club email. Have a nice one, and see you on the next episode. Okay. Let me. Which song was it? Oh, it was the
Fly Me to the Moon.
Okay, hold up. Let me pull it up on my phone. Do you have it pulled up? Let me see what you look like. I only know Fly Me to the Moon. Send it out too. Another word. Kiss me.
I think we can cut it there.
Yeah.